There's a danger that we all face, every human being. And the danger is that after a while, we can just kind of start drifting through life. Not that you're not busy, you're really busy, but it's just one event to the next event to the next event, day after day after day, week after week, year after year, just drifting through life, never really thinking, what are we doing? Or why? And I want to share with you two questions that I pray God will use in our lives this afternoon to set us free from that drifting. One question is, what will give me life? What is it? Where am I going to find the passion I'm longing for? The sense of meaning and purposefulness? Where am I going to find the beauty, the joy that my heart craves? We don't want to waste our lives, so where am I going to find life? Crucial question. And the second question is just as important. Does that life have to end? Can anything make life go on forever? And how could I know that was true if it was claimed it was true? What will give me life? And does that life have to end? Now, the good news is that the God who created you, created me, created this beautiful world, he does not leave us in the dark on crucial questions like that. One of the ways he answers is by sending Jesus, his son, born of the Virgin Mary, grew up, taught, answered questions like this, went to the cross, died, rose again, as we talked about. But Jesus answers that question, both those questions. Where will I find life? And does that life have to end? So the passage we're going to look at this afternoon is John chapter 11. Amazing passage in the scriptures. John wrote this. John was a fisherman called by Jesus. Jesus had captured his heart with Jesus, his own integrity, his authenticity, his love, his power, his authority. John became his follower, and John wrote this gospel describing Jesus' life. And in the first four verses of John chapter 11, we learn that Lazarus had become sick. And in these verses, Jesus wants us to understand, what was the purpose of Lazarus' sickness? What was the purpose? Start with verse 1. Now, a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. John just wants to make sure we understand which Mary this is. It's that Mary. Verse 3. So the sisters, Mary and Martha, sent to Jesus saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. He's ill. Little background. Jesus knew Martha and Mary and Lazarus. They were quite close. And so when Lazarus became seriously sick, Martha and Mary sent to Jesus to let him know. Jesus was in Jerusalem, about 3 kilometers away, and they sent him the message, Lord, he whom you love is ill. And look at Jesus' response in verse 4. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now, Jesus is not saying that Lazarus won't die. He's saying that Lazarus' sickness won't lead to death as its ultimate outcome. The ultimate outcome of Lazarus' sickness is not death. The ultimate outcome, the ultimate purpose of Lazarus' sickness is to display God's glory in Jesus Christ. That's the purpose here. Lazarus' sickness is going to display Jesus' glory, his power, his authority, his majesty as God. That's the purpose of Lazarus' sickness. Okay, now if we've been reading John's gospel all along, which is, you know, you can read gospels all the way through, we would know that Jesus has healed lots of people. So we readers would assume what this means is that Jesus is going to go and heal him, right? It's for the glory of God, he's going to go heal Lazarus. Jesus is going to hurry and travel that 3 kilometers to where Lazarus is. But that's not what happens. Jesus stays where he is 2 more days. 2 full days. Why? Why did Jesus stay 2 days longer? The answer is in verses 5 and 6. John tells us why. Verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister Mary and Lazarus. So, because he loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, because he loved them, when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. So why did Jesus stay 2 days longer? He just heard Lazarus is sick, Jesus, and why would he then stay 2 days longer? It's because he loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus. It's because he cared for them, and he was going to do something amazing for them. Remember, the purpose of Lazarus' illness was to display the glory of Jesus Christ. And for those of you who know Jesus, who are trusting Jesus, you've tasted of the glory of Jesus. You have felt his glory in your heart. You know that there is no more precious gift Jesus can give anyone than more of his glory, a greater heart revelation of his matchless glory, his heart-satisfying glory, his strength-giving glory, his beautiful glory. There's no more precious gift that Jesus can give to any of us than showing us more of his glory. And the purpose of Lazarus' illness was to display Jesus' glory. And so the reason Jesus stays 2 days longer is because he loves Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, and his delay is somehow going to cause Jesus' glory to be displayed all the more brilliantly. Now, we don't have time to dig into the next paragraph, just because it's a long passage. But during those 2 days, Jesus hears that Lazarus has tragically died. Lazarus has died. And he tells his disciples, start with verse 14 there. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died, and for your sake, I'm glad that I was not there so that you may believe. So that you may believe. Let us go to him. So Lazarus' sickness and death is going to display even more of Jesus' glory and strengthen faith even more. Greater display of Jesus' glory in all the heart faith-strengthening impact that has. So Jesus and his disciples traveled toward Bethany. And as I studied this next section, I think what John wants us to see is that Lazarus' sickness and death displays Christ's glory in 3 ways. It's going to display even more of Christ's glory to the disciples and to Martha and to Mary, and even to Lazarus. 3 ways Lazarus' sickness and death is going to display Christ's glory. First way, through Jesus declaring who he is. Verse 17, start there. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles, 3 kilometers off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Can you feel? Martha was troubled. We told you 2 days ago. I thought you loved us. We can all feel that, can't we? Then look at what she says in verse 22. It's clear she's not lost all hope, though. Verse 22, she says, but even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Then verse 23, Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Now, Martha's right about that. Lazarus would. He's trusting in the Messiah sent from God. His sins are all forgiven. He will rise at the last day. Martha's absolutely right about that. But Martha is missing something huge in that statement. She's missing something of massive importance, which Jesus explains in verse 25. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus is the resurrection. The man, the God-man standing before Martha, all resurrection power resides in him. He is the resurrector. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Now, let me just give you some background. There can be confusion because the Bible uses the word resurrection in two different ways. And the context surrounding the verses helps us know which way it's being used. Sometimes resurrection refers to how at the end of history, every single human being is going to be raised from the dead. Both those who've put their trust in Jesus Christ, they'll be raised to everlasting life. And those who have chosen to resist the truth of who Jesus is, to continue in their sin, they will be raised from the dead to everlasting judgment. Sometimes, like John chapter 5, verse 28 and 29, sometimes the word resurrection is used to describe that event which will raise both those who are trusting Christ and those who are continuing in their sin, raised from the dead, the believers to eternal life and those who are still in their sin to eternal judgment. So sometimes the word resurrection refers to both. Other times, the word resurrection is referring just to the resurrection of believers. And the context will help you know when that's taking place. And here, it's clear that the word resurrection refers to the resurrection of believers. That's what's being focused on here, the resurrection of believers to eternal life. So Jesus wants Martha to understand that the one who raises believers from the dead to everlasting life is standing right in front of her. Jesus, I am the resurrection. And the reason is his death on the cross paid for the sins. He was punished to pay for all the sins of everyone who will trust him. And so because their sins are paid for, then he can raise them to eternal life, everlasting life. And so Jesus wants Martha to understand that the one who raises believers from the dead is standing right in front of her. Jesus Christ is the resurrection. And so because you are trusting Jesus Christ this afternoon, because you're trusting him as your Savior, as your Lord, as your heart-satisfying treasure, that heartfelt faith joins you to Jesus. You are joined to the one who has resurrection power, which means it is guaranteed that at the end of history, you will be raised from the dead, believer. There is no question about it. You are joined to Jesus Christ by faith. You're joined to the one who is the resurrection. That's what Jesus wants us to understand when he says, I am the resurrection. But that's not all. Jesus says, look at verse 25 again. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. I'm the life. When Jesus says he's the life, what he means is that he is the life we're all seeking. We all want to have life, right? Not just to be surviving, but we want to be living. So the joy that you're longing for, It's found in Jesus Christ. The purpose, the passion you're longing for, it's found in Jesus Christ. The love and the beauty that your heart craves, it's found in Jesus Christ. I am the resurrection and the life. That's what Jesus is talking about. This room is full of people who've experienced, who are experiencing that life. We could go Friday night. My wife and I were at the youth dinner at the Wees home. Thank you, Keith and Joyce. And I just shared a little bit of my story. I thought I would just share you a little condensed version today. I was like 15 or 16 years old. And anybody looking at my life would have guessed he's on top of the world. Everything's just going great. I mean, friends and, you know, surfing and beach, and it was summer. You know, how could you beat that? I mean, everything was going like fantastic for a 15 or 16 year old. But you know what happened? That summer, I was empty. Everything was going exactly as I was hoping it was going, and I was empty. That's a frightening thought. If everything's going great as far as you can tell and you're empty, what are you going to do? But God used that in a very powerful way to make me ask, why isn't my heart full? And what will fill my empty heart? What will give me life? And God worked that summer. He changed my heart. I owned up to the truth of who Jesus Christ was. I turned from my sin, put my trust in Jesus. I trusted him. He promised he'd forgive all my sins, past, present, and future. I trusted him to forgive my sins. I trusted him to change me. My heart needed changing badly. He said he would change my heart gradually, but he promised that. And he said that he would fill my heart, that my empty heart would be full with his life. And that's exactly what he did. He forgave me. He started to change me, and he filled me. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. And many, many here can attest to the life that Jesus Christ gives. So Jesus wants Martha and each of us to understand that the life we are looking for is found only in Jesus Christ. You were created for the life of knowing him, trusting him, worshiping him, depending on him, fellowshipping with him. Oh, the Lord is amazing. Now, with that in mind, let's read all of verse 25. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. And he applies this. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. That refers to Lazarus. He's the one who's just died. But Martha can be comforted, Jesus is saying, because at that moment, Lazarus is alive in heaven with the infinite joy of knowing God. Lazarus is doing just fine at that moment. And that can be a comfort to Martha. But that's not all Jesus says. Look at verse 26. And Martha, everyone who lives and believes in me, everyone who has life in me, because he's believing in me, shall never die. And this refers to Martha and everyone who's trusting Jesus Christ this afternoon. We have Christ as our life. We're trusting him, and he says we will never die. Now, that doesn't mean you won't die physically, but it means that the life we know, that joy, that fellowship, that beauty, that hope, that passion that we have in Christ now will continue right through physical death. It'll continue right through physical death forever without stopping ever. The life you have now will never end, is what he's saying. One moment, we're here on earth experiencing Jesus' life. Then we die. Next moment, we're with Jesus in heaven, and there was no break between those two, except we left our physical bodies behind, and the joy is just increased because we're seeing our Savior face to face. But no break. You'll never die in the sense of losing that fellowship with him, and you'll never lose it forever. Then Jesus says to Martha, Martha, do you believe this? Her answer is in verse 27. She said to him, yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. Martha does believe. And because she trusts Jesus, Jesus is her resurrection and Jesus is her life. And so this is one way that Lazarus' sickness displays even more of Christ's glory, because it led to some of Jesus' most powerful words about himself. I mean, just think about this. I am the resurrection and the life. Does it get any bigger than that? Amazing. And that displays his glory even more. He's saying, I am what life is all about, and that life will never end for those who trust me. This is amazing. This is our Jesus. So that's one way Lazarus' sickness and death is displaying more of Christ's glory. It's brought these powerful seven words from Jesus, I am the resurrection and the life. But there's a second way that Lazarus' sickness and death displays Jesus' glory. It's through Jesus' compassion and anger. Compassion and anger. Start with verse 28. When she, Martha, had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, the teacher's here. He's calling for you. Mary, Jesus is asking for you. See, Jesus had brought great comfort to Martha, great comfort to Martha, and he wants to do the same for Mary. Verse 29, and when Mary heard it, he's calling for me, she rose quickly and went to him. Now, Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now, when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Exact same question Martha had asked. Mary was troubled. Jesus, I thought you loved us. Why didn't you come sooner? We told you days ago about Lazarus. Mary is asking this with weeping. We see that in verse 33. Verse 33, when Jesus saw her weeping, she's asking this with weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, where have you laid him, Lazarus? Where have you laid him? Where'd you bury him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept, weeping. Picture him weeping. So the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying? Come on, people, think. He healed a blind man. Certainly he could have, if he really healed a blind man. But he certainly could have kept Lazarus from dying. So some were saying that. And then verse 38, then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone lay against it. Big emphasis here. John wants us to see how our Jesus is deeply moved with emotions, feelings here. Deeply moved in his spirit, greatly troubled, and weeping. Now, why? I think the passage shows there's at least two reasons. Verse 33 shows that one reason is because Mary, he sees Mary weeping, and those Jews who'd come to grieve with her also weeping. So part of his sorrow and his weeping and troubledness is compassion. He's heartbroken. He's sorrowing, weeping over their loss. They've lost their brother. They love their brother. He is gone. Huge loss in their hearts. And Jesus is feeling that with them and weeping with them for this. Now, and understand, this is the Son of God. This is God in the flesh showing us God's heart. There he is, weeping, caring, loving. Now, understand, he's also sovereign and in a complete authority and knows exactly where this is all going. He's not hopeless or frightened, but he's still heartbroken. You understand, he can be weeping with us when we're going through our trials, knowing full well the beautiful outcome that these trials are going to have, but he sees and he feels our pain in the meantime. Isn't that comforting? I find that greatly comforting. This is our God, the God who created the universe, weeps with us when we weep. So one reason is because of his compassion. But I think there's a second reason here. Verses 37 and 38 show that Jesus sorrows and troubled, I think, as a display of his anger. It's in response to verse 37. Some of the Jews mockingly had said, "Could not he who opened the blind man's eyes also have kept this man from dying?" I mean, people think, this isn't real. And look at how Jesus responds to that statement in verse 38. Then, or literally in the Greek, it's the strong word, therefore, Jesus, deeply moved again. So his deep heart troubledness, sorrow, anger, I believe, is in response to their willful unbelief. Their willful unbelief of some of the Jews here. There's anger. And I want you to understand, this is perfect and pure and righteous anger. God is pure, perfect. He never sins. When he's angry, it's 100% right, pure, called for, holy. He's angry because they're willfully blind to his glory. They've seen his glory. Nope. Threatens my money too much. Threatens my position too much. Nope. He's angry because they're willfully blind to his glory. He's angry because it's sin like this which brought death into the world in the first place and all the heartache that has come because of sin. He's angry at sin. And he's angry because they're trying to draw others into that willful blindness. I think this is the second way that Lazarus' sickness and death displays Jesus' glory. It shows us Jesus' compassion and his anger. He's not cold and unfeeling. No heart of stone here. Look at his weeping and his compassion over Mary and Martha's loss of their brother. And let that bring you comfort. Do you know that the Lord weeps with you when you're weeping? He doesn't say, "Get over your weeping and then we can talk." He comes right alongside you. He's weeping with you. Let that bring you comfort. And then look at his anger over the unbelief of some of the Jews. White hot anger, perfectly pure anger, righteous anger at willful unbelief. And let that make you tremble. If you have willful unbelief in your heart, let that make you tremble and turn to Jesus. He will forgive you and change you and help you. But willful unbelief is wrong. And it calls forth just anger, righteous anger. So that's the second way Lazarus' sickness and death is displaying Christ's glory. See the glory of Jesus weeping with Mary and Martha. That is a beautiful thing. Look at our Savior weeping with them. He knows what he's going to do, but he's weeping with them. And then look at the righteousness and the holiness of Jesus' anger. The book of Revelation talks about the wrath of the Lamb, which we do not want to face. There's a glory, a perfection a justice in the wrath of the Lamb. And we're seeing it displayed here. There's a third way that Lazarus' sickness and death display Jesus' glory. It's through Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. You know this is where it's going, right? You knew this was coming. Through Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. Starting in verse 38. Then Jesus, deeply moved again because of what they had said in their mocking and belief, he came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he's been dead 4 days." See, she knows now Jesus is the resurrection. She has no idea that he might raise someone from the dead before the end of history, right? Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes. He's talking to God the Father. He said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around," I get this next line, "that they may believe that you sent me." Jesus' purpose in what he's going to do is to strengthen our faith, to bring us to faith, to strengthen our faith, that he is the Messiah, he is the Son of God, he is sent by God the Father. Jesus wants us to see he is the resurrection and the life. Life is found in him, and the life that's found in him never stops because he's the resurrection. In verse 43, when Jesus had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The man who had died came out. Jesus' words miraculously brought life into this 4-day dead corpse. "Lazarus, come out." And the man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips and his face wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let it go." And that's all that's said. We're just left with our mouths open. Lazarus, sickness, and death has displayed more of Jesus' glory by calling forth these powerful words of Jesus, "I am the resurrection and the life." His glory has been displayed through Jesus' tender compassion and righteous anger at unbelief. And his glory was displayed through Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. Now think about Lazarus here for a moment. Lazarus had tasted heaven, right? He had tasted heaven. He'd been there. Remember, "Today you'll be with me in paradise," Jesus said to the thief on the cross next to him. Lazarus had tasted heaven, but now he's back. And I think he is thrilled at the role that he was allowed to play in this beautiful demonstration of Jesus' glory. He's thrilled that he had a part to play in this display of who Jesus is. And I think he was full of joy because, one, he's seeing Jesus' glory like never before. He's never seen this. Whoa! He's seeing Jesus' glory like never before, and he's filled with Jesus' life, therefore, like never before. So Lazarus is doing just fine. He's back. He's thrilled. He's full of joy. "Thank you, thank you, thank you," is what Lazarus is saying. And I think at this point, Mary and Martha understand that Jesus really does love them. He does love them. Because he has given them the best possible gift, which is a greater revelation, heart revelation of Jesus' glory. His glory, the life of that glory, is filling their hearts now more than it has ever before. And they know that that life will fill them, not just now, but will continue to fill them forever. and they know Jesus loves us. Oh, that was painful. That was painful. But we know the reason he delayed coming was because he loves us, because he was going to use us to bring us the most precious gift. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That's Mary and Martha. But we can't stop there. This is Easter, when Jesus rose from the dead, right? This was a powerful demonstration of how Jesus is the resurrection and the life. But a few weeks later, a far more powerful demonstration of Jesus as the resurrection and the life. You know the story. After Jesus was crucified, suffering, being punished for the sins of everyone who will trust him, he died, he was dead, he was buried, and then on the third day, he rose again. Jesus rose again. He rose again with the immortal body, a body that would never die again, a physical, immortal resurrection body that would never die again, just like the body he will give to every believer when we are raised from the dead. That resurrection, beautiful, glorious body. So the raising of Lazarus from the dead was a beautiful display of Jesus' glory, and it's like a prelude to the even more amazing demonstration of Jesus' glory that happens on Easter Sunday morning. So, friends, Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. He is the life you're looking for. Don't waste your life. He's the life you're looking for. If you will turn from your sin and put your trust in him, he will forgive you for everything. He will start to change you beautifully, and life will fill your heart. His peace, his security, his joy, his passion, his love will fill your heart, and you will know that that life you have in him will continue right through death forever. Trust Jesus, the resurrection and the life. Turn to him and trust him right now if you never have before. Let's stand and pray. We bow our hearts before you, the resurrection and the life. This is who you are. We love you, Jesus Christ. We praise you, Father, God the Father, for sending your Son. We know that you are glorified in everything your Son did. We love that. And I pray that right now you'd be strengthening the faith of those who are already trusting you, that we would see Christ's glory more and trust more right now. I pray you'd bring comfort to those who are sorrowing. And I pray you'd bring trembling to those who are dabbling with willful unbelief. And Lord, for those who came in here tonight not yet trusting you, thank you for bringing them here. Right now, let them see Jesus' glory, own up to Jesus' life, and turn and receive the life, the everlasting life he will give. In Jesus' name, amen.